Take us through the second year and where some of the people who started in the program are at now.
Yeah. In the 2 years, we've served like over, I think, around 600 people. So, and we're at like 212 right now. So Daryl, who was pretty prominent, he was still here, obviously.
He was, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So he graduated, got into permanent housing. He's living in Denver. He actually has been staying in touch with us. He texted me last week. He's going to Emily Griffith, and he's in the barber school, and just doing really well. Our co-founder Phil Harrington actually got a haircut from him in Denver a few weeks ago at Emily Griffith. And I don't know if you remember that Joe was involved in furniture refinishing and making plaques, and we rented a storefront in Los Animas, and actually we're going to be moving in probably next week. We're started to bring stuff down. So Joe's got a bunch of furniture who's been refinishing. He's been selling it online. He moved into one of the houses on campus with two other guys. You know, we have 10 houses on campus that we remodeled.
Yeah.
And part of the transition process is for folks to move into those houses and become kind of more independent, you know, sort of prepare their own meals and kind of get ready to transition out. And he'll be heading up this storefront. You know, Joe's still in solid recovery and doing fabulous.
And what about Janice?
Yeah, she ended up moving into Los Animas, and she got kind of adopted by the what they call the cowboy church, the Seed and Sand. She's had some struggles in town, but she's now living. Last I heard, we kind of lost touch with her, but she was living independently in Los Animas.
So is there a growing community of people in Los Animas who've left the program?
Yeah, actually a little bit in Los Animas, mostly in La Junta. There's, I think, four people who are living independently in La Junta, and all four of them were really involved in school and recovery, and they're really beginning to create kind of a community in La Junta. But we are really starting to get a little momentum in terms of the Valley. We had a number of people move to Lamar, too, and sort of started creating some community. That's been a bit of a phenomenon that we didn't anticipate that is actually making more sense. It has a lot to do with a couple of things. One, the cost of living. Going back to Denver is not even viable in terms of rentability. And then people just feel like they got a better chance at staying clean and sober in the Valley.
Have there been any major incidents or things that have come up that you maybe didn't anticipate or problems at all?
There's been a couple of folks, you know, intoxicated in town in Los Animas, but it's certainly nothing to the degree that locals were leery of, or some locals. So nothing shocking.
One of the pioneering aspects of the Fort Lyon Homeless Recovery Program is that residents are given 2 years to put their lives back together. So now that Fort Lyon has been open for 2 years, I wonder if that amount of time has proven to benefit the people who go through the program.
There was one general data point that was fascinating to me. Folks who stayed 9 months was sort of a magical number. Turnover rate decreased exponentially in their sobriety time if they stayed 9 months or more. So that was sort of a line. And people who left before 9 months have had a more difficult time. Like folks who stayed 9 months or more, the much greater percentage are in permanent housing. 98 of our folks have moved into permanent housing. 27% are actually totally independent. They're not on any subsidy, so they're working or something. So that's been a really phenomenal number and a bit of a shock to me. And then, like I said, Joe just coming in, he's actually been here 2 years. And when we move folks, when we transition folks to the houses, we kind of reset the clock. I mean, that 2 years is an arbitrary number. But now he's looking at transitioning into the community. He's opening up this store in town. So that's a whole nother kind of iteration that we never planned for. And so he's getting this whole new life. And that really does have to do with the time. And then you look at, I mean, the reason we did that is, you know, if you get 1 year sober, your chances of getting 2 years go up, you know, 50%. There's these exponential numbers the longer you're sober, that you'll stay sober for life. And so, you know, we're seeing that play out. Very few people drink and drug here. And so as long as they're here, they're generally clean and sober. We have had trouble with people going on passes and using. And so we're having to kind of readjust that. We're really limiting passes to, you know, using them just for as much as possible, just for business. And we used to be, you could go on pass after, I think, 30 days. Now you have to wait for at least 90 days. We just see the longer you're here, the less vulnerable you are to using.
One of the things that was that I think we, Noel and I both thought was really remarkable about Fort Lyon is how kind of open-ended it is and structureless, and sort of the way that you guys were really trying to let the residents there have a lot of say over sort of what they did and how they did it and how life was organized in the community. Have you guys had to adjust that at all? Have you had to sort of impose more structure at all?
You know, it's gone. There's two sides of that. One is it's really played out, and I was just talking to Joe again. I was saying, and been just talking to people a lot about it's a peer model, and I was just in Portland, and they have a lot of innovation around addiction treatment and homeless. They've been doing it for 30 years at different levels, and one of the things, you know, they've been really, like, they have an organization similar to Colorado Coalition for the Homeless, and 60% of their staff are former residents. So they're super committed to peer. And so that's a lot of where I got that. And so in that sense, that has really blossomed. And the store is an example of it. It's all peer-run. There's like 15 AA, NA, and CA meetings on campus that have all been started by residents. You know, I sort of can go on and on about the peers creating this recovery community. So the longer they're there, the longer we're here, the more we feel comfortable. The kitchen staff using peers, that seems to have really settled down. The housekeeping, like, we don't go through people so much in terms of residents not showing up. There's a higher level of accountability and responsibility. And then on the other side, we've thought we need to, for the first 90 days, it's that first 90 days is when we need more structure. And so we've imposed a little more structure on the front end. We've added we do this new beginnings that's required. The community meeting is required, but we've added some other, this personal journal, and we do longer periods of, like, you just absolutely cannot leave the campus in the first 30 days, and that's a little more strict than we were. I think you used to be able to get on the van with staff or something, go to Los Alamos. And then we'll do behavior. If people do, you know, there's behavior issues, we do more stringent behavioral contracts in terms of expectations and restrictions. And then we've done some, we are now doing a regular systematic meeting with people. You know, you have to meet with your case manager every 2 weeks now and go over your recovery. And so we've added, you know, a little bit more structure at the same time of, you know, like I said, turning it over to the residents.
Well, thanks so much, James.
Okay, Noel, Jake, thanks.